This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. And just prior to that, Paul was writing about the law, meaning the law of Moses, the law that those who had been Jewish and had come to Christ were following, and talking about the law and sin and how that was dealt with, and also this inner conflict of knowing what was right but not always being able to do it. That, you know, knowing that sin was just controlling him. So in chapter 8 he begins there, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you." May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word for this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from the Apostle Paul this morning, your holy word about Jesus, and that the law itself could not save someone, that Jesus had to come in earthly form to take on that fleshly, sinful life. Not that he sinned, but he took on this form and lived that form and ultimately paid the price for us. Lord, we pray this day that we may not be living in the Spirit, we may not be living in the flesh, or the flesh of sin and death, but we may be living in the Spirit. We pray that our hearts and minds may be open this day to receive a word from you that will strengthen our faith, will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever decided to make a change in your life? Perhaps go on a diet, begin to work out, go back to school, look for a new job, get your finances in order and pay off some debt, consider retirement, or you fill in the blank as something that was life-changing in your life. Many organizations and companies, as well as people, do makeovers. They rebrand themselves as something new or something different or better than before. For example, for decades, the Nissan Auto Company exported cars under the Datsun name. You may remember from back in the 70s and early 80s, there were some really nice cars that were made by Datsun. But over time, the Nissan people decided that they needed to strengthen their global image. For people in America were buying Datsuns but not realizing that they were really buying Nissans. So the company decided to rebrand and make their name as familiar as their rivals Honda and Toyota. Rebranding, or renaming, is not limited to large corporations. The Bible tells us that God did some of this also. Abram became Abraham. Sari was changed to Sarah. Jacob became Israel. And Saul was changed to Paul. The disciple Peter was rebranded by Jesus from the name Simon. And Jewish followers of Jesus began to call themselves followers of the way, and later Christians. For hundreds of years, God taught people about sin through the law of the Bible. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul admits, and in the previous chapter to what we read this morning, quote, "I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" He saw the law of God as holy and just and good, nothing to be necessarily done away with. But then Paul discovered that there was a limitation to the law of Moses. It identified sin. It pointed it out very clearly. But it offered no suggestions as to how to overcome it. As much as Paul delighted in the law of God, he still found that he was, quote, "a captive to the law of sin," end quote. Every time he tried to do good, he ended up doing something bad. God needed to do a major rebrand by providing life in the Spirit. Paul proclaims in this morning's text that now the law of sin and death is gone. In its place is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Rebranding can take place in the lives of individuals and communities if the people are open to the leading of God's Spirit. By changing names and our logos in some smart and meaningful ways, individuals and groups begin life on a whole new course. I have a couple examples to share this morning, a few examples. Airbnb, if you've heard of that, is the popular online marketplace and hospitality service that connects and enables potential guests and hosts to lease or rent short-term lodging from each other. When the service was first envisioned and launched in 2009, the name was Air Bed and Breakfast. But as the company grew, the owners realized that most people don't want to sleep on air mattresses on the floor. The somewhat mysterious rebranded Airbnb comes across as very contemporary rather than uncomfortable. And the rebranding was apparently successful because Airbnb will soon be booking more rooms than the world's largest hotels, hotel chains. And unless you are of a certain age, you know the family restaurant that specializes in breakfast food as IHOP. But those of us who are a little older may remember it as the International House of Pancakes. In 1994, the company heard that its customers had shortened the name to IHOP, so the company decided to make it official. And the Fast Company says that the name change instantly made the chain seem more of the moment and self-aware. Have you ever Googled anything? Have you done it recently? Most of us have, and sometimes we do it several times a day. We use the search engine created by Google to look up all kinds of things on the internet. But the company called Google soon did not want to be known only by its for its search engine, since it was plunging into life sciences, investment capital, and research. So the name of the company was changed to Alphabet in 2015, and the stock rose by 27%. Rebranding can make a difference, but there's always risk involved when rebranding takes place. Now, IHOP was pretty safe because people were already doing it, but for some others, it might be dangerous. This past week, Dunkin' Donuts, Inc. announced that a few of their stores would test a rebranded and abbreviated name, just Dunkin', rather than Dunkin' Donuts. This is an effort to emphasize coffee and not the donut part of it. And a company-wide decision will not be made until next year as to whether to do all to change their name permanently. This week also, the church received an envelope in the mail from Andover Newton Theological School. Inside were two letters, both talking about the institution's rebranding. As some of you may have heard, the graduate school completed the sale of its Newton, Massachusetts campus in June, signed a formal affiliation agreement with Yale Divinity School in July, and is in the process of moving to New Haven, Connecticut over the next year. Through this transition, the institution is not only changing its location, but it's also changing its name and its logo. It's rebranding itself for what it sees as a bright future. The new name will be Andover Newton Seminary at Yale Divinity School. No, it's a longer name, but they explain why. I'm not going to go into that all here. I don't have the time. But they believe that this new name signals both continuity with the past and a fresh beginning. Historically, the school has rebranded itself several times, if you know the history of the school. And this reminds me of a quote by the Italian fashion designer Donatella Versace, who said, "It's very important for a brand to have an identity through the years, but it's very important as well to evolve because time changes so fast." So let us return to today's scripture for a little bit. What did God accomplish when God rebranded us by moving us from self-centered lives to the Spirit-centered lives? This was one of the biggest tweaks in religious history. It began with a liberation movement when God set us free from the law of sin and death, as Paul writes in verse 2. This was the first step. Even today, with the advancement of so many social programs, sin and death continue to be a problem for many people. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright points out that, quote, "The Western powers themselves have been shown up as riddled with corruption, selfishness masked as public service, and sexual and financial scandals," end quote. Sin is still a problem for us. We need that liberation that only God can offer. Fortunately, God frees us by giving us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. God sent his Son Jesus to us in human form to, as the translation I read this morning, deal with sin. You think about that, to deal with sin. That's a great phrase. It means that Jesus has come to be concerned with sin, to take action on it, and to punish it. When someone says, "I'll deal with you later," we know that person means business. And Jesus means business when he comes to deal with sin. Jesus deals with sin by giving his life on the cross. He allows all the sin of the world to be heaped on top of him so that sin can be condemned and die at the same time that he is condemned and dies. The supreme power of sin is now overcome. So we can walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have been liberated from the grip of sin. The next step in God's rebranding is to give us a new way of thinking, replacing selfish thinking with Spirit thinking. We are free to make good choices now in a way that we could not when sin was in control of our lives. Those who live only for themselves are going to be driven only by the things they want, to paraphrase Paul. So they are going to be selfish and greedy with flimsy sexual standards. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, things such as service to others, love, life, and peace. Now, of course, we're always going to continue to face temptation. And sometimes we'll make mistakes. And occasionally, we'll make those mistakes in spectacular ways. But sin no longer has the ability to overcome us because, as followers of Christ, we have embraced a new way of thinking that immediately understands the problem or the issue when we mess up. The Bible calls it walking according to the Spirit, or setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. And those things of the Spirit we set our minds on, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That New Testament scholar N.T. Wright reminds us that the presence of the Spirit makes a difference in how we actually live our lives, not just how we feel about our life, but how we actually live it. God's work in us always goes deeper than just changing the name. When God wants to create something new, God begins by liberating us from sin and helping us to overcome it. And then God replaces the selfish thinking with Spirit thinking. And finally, God fills us with a power that is described as both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. This fresh source of energy gives us new life because it is the same Spirit that brought Jesus back to life. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, writes Paul, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. So many things in our world can just suck the life out of us. Whether it's social media, our jobs, chronic illness, debt, there may be something else on your list that just feels like it's just draining you. But God is working to fill us with life and with peace through the gift of the Spirit. This Spirit will give us the inspiration we need to be faithful and loving people in the world. There are times when both individuals and companies need a fresh start. God wants us to let go of the past and to put on the accent of the future, to focus on the future. To help us do this, God liberates us from sin, introduces us to new ways of thinking, and fills us with His Spirit, which is both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. According to Christian writer Philip Yancey, the Spirit, quote, accepts us with all of our secrets and gradually transforms us into someone more like Him. The Spirit's work is seen in, quote, prisoners and drug addicts who are transformed, wealthy people who are humbled to care for the forsaken, doctors who forego comfort to serve the needy, end quote. All of this fulfills the promise made through Jesus that no matter what we do, we can be forgiven. And no matter who we are, we can be transformed. We are accepted, forgiven, and transformed, liberated from sin, and given a new way of thinking. That is God's way of giving us rebranded lives in the Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, we each come with our own different needs today. Some of us may have felt that we've just gone through a rebranding, and others may feel that we are in desperate need of one. Lord, wherever we are on that continuum, we pray for Your Spirit to be working in us. We pray, O God, that if we are living with flesh thinking and sin thinking, that You will transform our thinking to Spirit thinking. Lord, if we're not even to that point yet, we pray for the liberation to move us away from the law of sin and death, that we can turn our backs on that, so we can turn toward You, that You know that Your Spirit will be there, and we pray, oh God, that Your Spirit will fill us. That we pray to be new creatures made by You. Lord, You are a God of all eternity. You are a God of new beginnings. We pray, oh God, that You will give each of us individually and us as a congregation and as a community new beginnings to rebrand us as Your people in this place. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.